And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell. If you do not have tickets for the podcast in Austin, Texas with Ron Bennington, get them. The link is in my Instagram profile. If you have a festival badge, you can get in. If not, grab tickets. Link is in the profile of my Instagram. I tweeted out a bunch. Right now, we have a special guest. I don't know how we got this person. I'm very excited. Returning from Coachella. Let me make sure I pronounce his name right. Ray Kump.
I'm back, baby.
There he is.
Hello.
Look at this. How did we manage it? We were trying for months. Your people.
Look, I've been getting a lot of calls. I've been ignoring them. frankly, I feel like it's bad for my career.
Well, you lost your phone.
I lost my identity.
What happened?
I was in an Uber pool yesterday.
Uber pool.
With a lovely gentleman who I believe ended up taking my phone. I was busy playing a Cuphead on my Nintendo Switch.
What is that?
It's just some game where you play, you're a cup. And I was playing the...
A game where you're a cup.
And you're shooting people.
You're a cup.
Yeah.
Like a mug?
The mug is your brother in the game.
And you're a what?
Cup.
Okay.
Like a coffee cup.
And why are you shooting people?
It's like an old school game, like an old school, like old timey cartoon game.
Gotcha.
It's not the important detail.
Okay.
The important detail is I was immersed and didn't know where my phone was, so I get out of the car.
But aren't you playing the game on your phone? No.
No, I have a Switch.
Oh, okay.
I've upgraded since I left.
My apologies.
Things are going pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I basically got on the phone, try to log into Uber on the computer to say, hey, like, give me my phone back, driver. And they start going, all right, we'll text you a code to your phone. And it's like, I don't have my phone. It's a whole jerk around. They jerk them off my dick. And basically, eventually, the next morning, because I haven't shipped me a new phone. I have insurance. And this guy starts making fraudulent PayPal charges on my card. On my, basically buying gift cards.
He's buying gift cards.
Yeah.
From your PayPal.
Now, I had gone to, because it's hard to log into your shit. Everything you try to log into nowadays.
It's very tough.
They we're going to text you a code. Like, I don't have my phone.
Yeah.
So, and like, I have an old iPhone, but I was waiting for it to charge. Because literally, I have an iPhone 5. You have to plug it in for 6 hours before it charges up.
You have an iPhone 5.
Well, that's an old phone I have.
You have, okay.
That's not my standard phone. My phone is lost.
You just keep an iPhone 5 around.
For in situations like this.
It's a good call.
Yeah, I'll just throw out, garbage.
No, I don't just throw out garbage.
Yeah.
A great Ray Kump quote.
Well, you might need it.
I don't just throw out garbage.
You might need it one day.
I like that.
Yeah. So
that's a T-shirt.
I went to the bank close the account or close the debit card, and then I got some fucking alert like, "Hey, Samsung Pay's been activated on your phone." Like, oh shit, he's using it to I thought maybe just someone fucking, because the Uber driver didn't have it. I lost my phone before. The Uber driver brings it back, and they're good
people.
Yeah, but this guy, it got swiped. The guy was like, some kind of drug dealer. It was a white.
He's in an Uber pool.
Yeah, he was like a white kid with like a box of sneakers.
Are you making him white for the show?
No, he was like one of these sneaker kids.
Okay,
he has sneakers.
One of the sneaker kids.
Yeah,
like a hype beast.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they call them. Wears a lot of Supreme.
Yeah, I think it was one of those guys
in the sneakers. They love the new sneaker.
Yeah.
Hype beast.
I'm not.
You
a fan
got
of hype
your
beast.
Cell phone lifted by a hype beast in an Uber pool.
Classic smash and grab.
Classic smash and grab.
So, so I went over to the bank. I closed the card. And they were like, you don't have to bother closing the checking account. And then I'm fucking go back to work. And I'm fucking, waiting for my phone so I can get, to charge up. So they're going to put a new SIM card in it. And I get this other thing. PayPal's been reactivated. I'm like, what the fuck? So we're going there. And all these goddamn transactions about gift cards. And
I can just imagine you sweating, angry, screaming, flailing your arm. What the fuck?
I was fucking stress eating hot dogs.
I did not order this gift card.
I was so upset that I bought hot dogs on the street. I was just eating them, just fucking screaming into the computer.
Yeah.
And so that's
how you combat stress.
Yeah.
Is to eat hot dogs on the street.
Well, look, what am I going to do? Go have a souffle?
No. That's a great point.
Yeah, I'm going to...
That's a great point. Just eat hot dogs on the street.
It's always worked
and scream.
It's always worked for me before.
I bet there was like a family visiting New York City who just looked at you and started praying. They all just clasped their hands and just started praying.
Well, this is what they want. See, like, Bloomberg ruined tourism for people.
I agree.
They wanted to be safe, but they want a little taste.
They want a little taste of it. They want to see somebody going off. I used to flip out all the time. You were with me enough to know
that. No, it was uncomfortable. Yeah.
But that's what tourists want. And I've said this before. Tourists want to see me or someone like me or you flip out. It's like scream and yell and have a breakdown.
We are in a weird way kind of like going to a prostitute. You want a little bit of danger.
You want to see someone on the brink.
Yeah.
If you come to New York, you want to see somebody on the brink.
Right.
A guy like you, a guy like me, a guy whose skin flashes red.
Right. You don't see that on TV.
You don't get it on TV.
And nor do you get it in the Nordic countries, I believe.
No.
Just deep red in the veins.
Deep red. A larger man smoking or eating a street meat and losing his mind because his phone was stolen from him in an Uber pool by a hypebeast.
Right, a hypebeast. And the worst thing
is... goddamn hypebeast stole my phone! Jesus!
The worst thing is I go onto PayPal and say, hey, I click... Because these are... Look, they're gift cards.
Sure.
It's a trope at this point.
Do you think he's buying them for people? Like a night, like he's doing like
Mother's Day? Your mom.
What if he started donating to Elizabeth Warren with your...
We're going to get Trump.
Like you just start getting emails. Thank you for your donation to Beto. Like he's donating to all the Democrat candidates with your phone.
I mean, give me some points at least. But the thing is, I go dispute them, and they're obvious. Like gift cards are an obvious trope for scammers, so I think it's no brainer. So I click like these three. It's like one's for $475, one's like $400. Like you know, they're like $1,200 altogether.
Yeah.
And I click them, and then a half hour later, I get a response. Yeah, we looked into it. They're not unauthorized charges. Like fuck off. And I'm like, what the fuck?
How do you think they looked into it?
I don't. I maybe it's an algorithm, or maybe they just like maybe they activated like the webcam on my computer and like look at this slob, and they fucking just said fuck, let's burn them.
They just said you were a legitimate mark. Like whoever took your phone was right to do it.
Right.
These are not illegitimate charges. You're getting fucked, sir. Well, you were with me the other night. I almost had something weird happen.
Oh yeah.
We were juniors in Brooklyn.
Right.
We had a hot dog. They brought the hot dog over. It was the size of the table.
Yeah, it was a massive fucking hot dog.
The massive hot dog. I mean, this thing was coming out of the bun, off the plate.
It was double the size of the bun.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We go to juniors. I say to one of the bus boys, hey, can you charge my phone?
Right.
I give my phone to the guy. The guy takes it, disappears. For about a half hour.
Yeah.
We go to leave. We go, hey, can we get the phone back? Everybody in the place doesn't seem to know where the phone is nor who the guy is.
Sure. They're all aloof. They're all like,
yeah.
To be fair, to set the stage properly, when you're at a restaurant, I don't think you'll shy away from this, you tend to act like you're the king of the restaurant.
I am.
And
because I am.
You've earned that role.
I've earned the role to be the king of the restaurant.
But you're grabbing people as they're walking by going, sir, what is this gingerbread? What is this? And you're pointing at them.
I wanted to know. It was a house. We were seated next to a house made of cheesecake.
Right.
I wanted to know about it.
You're grabbing other people's waitresses and asking for mayonnaise.
Yes. I get a condiment from everyone on the floor.
Sure. But, you know,
I keep people going. Keep them up. Keep them going. Hey, you got gravy? Wake up. Boom.
The answer to the confusion is my point.
I do bring in a lot of chaos.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
But in that chaos, we find our true meaning.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and
Peterson, Jordan Peterson, not me, folks.
He's a good man.
He's fine. He's a good man.
Yeah. I don't think he's a bad dude.
I don't think he's a bad dude at all.
He's a little trite sometimes. What are you gonna
do? I am, and I did this. We're not going to go into this because I did it on the other thing. Yeah. I am sick of people. Who need these people.
No.
We've talked about
100%.
This. These people that can't wipe their own ass without a book, without a chapter book. They're like, I had no idea. I had to pick up the sock on my floor. Thank God that these guys are around to write books telling me to be a person.
The weird thing is...
And a lot of these people are from like kind of cushy suburban...
Right.
Existences where you're like
the weird thing with this guy is he seems to be about hierarchies and people falling to the wayside because they couldn't cut it,
right?
And like, you know, it's legitimate, like, all right, but then he's trying to like coddle these like children, like these fucking 24-year-old men into like, yeah, like brush your teeth and like, you know, don't
well
put your
I think
in
it's a, what he's trying
wonder.
To do is laudable. But the people, I just get, I know that people need shit
right.
every now and then to get, you know. But the Gary Vee, the Peterson, the Vaynerchuk, like all of that stuff to me is becomes, like when you read it on the page, you go, a lot of this is nonsense.
People used to be inspired. And look, you can say Lawrence of Arabia, you know, T.E. Lawrence was like a, he raped a civilization,
right.
whatever. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
We don't have time, folks.
He used to be inspired by people who took risks and went out there and like,
right.
and just, oh, this guy had a crazy life. I want to live like that.
Yeah.
And now it's like some guy who's telling you, you know, maybe you should try eating some steak. And it's like.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is like, there's no honesty. The problem is the lack of honesty in society.
Right.
Right? Here's like, people that take the route that I've taken, someone has to tell them early on, you're not going to have a good life. it's not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
The chances that you are going to have a fulfill, like, you're going to do the thing you want, which is great, but you're not going to have this Disney experience that you think you're going to have or that you see other people having. And
the weird thing is these people were happy at one point to be bent over in a coal mine.
Right.
Like that was a good life to them. Just
yeah.
Like, just dying of soot.
Well, part of my problem with this new ethos of finding meaning, people don't need meaning.
Right.
People need fucking things to do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the idea that everybody's going to be a fully actualized human being is insane. They don't need meaning. In fact, most people I think are better off kind of staying at surface level.
Right.
Staying, I like potato salad. I like pussy. I should work so that I can have a supply of those things.
Sure.
You know? But we're in the restaurant. I'm being me.
Yeah.
And this is, you're not justifying him stealing my
phone. No, of course not. I'm just, it adds to the firing squad kind of element where you don't know who shot. But my point,
right,
no,
okay.
Oh, yes. But you give the guy the phone and he eagerly accepts, this is like something we do. We'll charge it. I'll get it done. And then we finished the meal.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, you know, and then you asked the security guy, who turns out he's a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
Like, where's the phone?
And where's the phone?
And everyone gets dumb.
Everybody gets dumb and starts walking around looking at the floor.
Yeah.
They call over two managers. They don't know what's going on.
I thought you were overreacting at first a little bit.
Yeah.
But then as it went on for like 20 minutes.
I go 0-60 and I told you, I said, I guarantee at the very least, this has happened before.
Right.
Because the managers had those faces on like, fuck.
Yeah.
I hope we don't have to do this, go through this again. Is this another problem we're having?
It's got to be, look, you're not getting people with like, you know, 10 page resumes to work, you know, as a guy cleaning plates off the fucking table.
Right.
It's a noble job, whatever.
Right.
But like, this is not like, you know, so you take, you can only filter so many people out.
Yeah.
And you're taking that, probably you're taking a job because you can get a good hustle going.
Right.
You can get, you know, some, you put it perfectly, some European tourist comes in and then, you know, they ain't going to push back.
Yeah, listen, if you leave that place without your phone and you're visiting from Sweden,
oh Jesus,
you're not going back.
You're going back like, on the next day and you're like, hey, so I gave some guy my phone.
Yeah, they're not going back. They just buy another fucking phone and I bet it's not a bad side hustle.
Right.
But as you said, you ain't doing that to the king of the restaurant. I fucking walk in here, I order buffalo shrimp, regular shrimp for the fucking table. I'm sitting, I'm doing the right thing. We ordered three entrees, we ordered cheesecake, like... We're doing the right thing.
We were legit. And, No, but it's
I don't need to be stolen from in my own goddamn city.
It's the level of, like, the people. They wouldn't even look in the eye.
Yeah. Well, they know.
They're walking in and out. They're, like, looking at their fucking shoes.
I've been around enough scams to know when I'm going to be the victim of a scam.
Yeah.
And I've gladly been the victim of a scam. I've scammed myself.
Oh, sure.
Enough to know when something's at the very fucking least weird.
Right.
And I'm like, there's a weird vibe here. There's a vibe of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What's going on? We have no phone. And then nobody knows who the dude is.
That guy.
Nobody knows who's the guy. Who was on the floor the whole night?
He was on the floor the whole night.
Whole night.
He was gone. I didn't see him anywhere.
Gone.
No one saw him anywhere.
Right.
Half hour, 20 minutes, a half hour later, he finally comes out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing back there.
And by the way, it seemed almost like happenstance.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, the phone? And he's like, oh.
And he laughs. And if he gives you the phone, he fucking like laughs.
And the phone, I think, was plugged in right next to the booth that we were sitting in.
Oh, no, yeah, like right across, yeah.
Yeah, it was not far away.
Right, they were looking around the whole
time. Yeah.
The guy fucking brings, the security guy comes over. Remember this?
The security guy's accusing me of stealing
the
phone.
What's your phone look like? You know, it's an iPhone.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the
color? And he's got a picture he's looking at, and he's testing you.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, what's the color of the face? Yeah, you know, it's a black face.
Yeah.
He goes, it's not this phone.
And he turns around, and then it's a white iPhone. He's like, well, it's not this one. I'm like, are you now accusing me of stealing a phone? This is a great strategy.
Yeah.
He's basically coming over like, hey, are you trying to get the better of us? Are you trying to steal a phone? This is what Ocasio-Cortez doesn't realize.
Right.
You know what I mean?
People are going to...
This is what she doesn't realize about human beings.
At least American human beings. It happens across the racial spectrum, across the economic spectrum.
Right.
We are a country of scammers.
Slimeball thieves.
Yeah. And the further you go up, the more scammers there are.
And stop, you know, Ubers now in this fucking city... are $1 trillion.
It's so expensive.
To get anywhere because there's a congestion tax, there's a carbon tax. So by doing all these things that are supposedly long-term good for the environment, you're impoverishing people in the short term.
Right.
You're fucking people that need to get places. We have a horrible fucking... subway system.
Yeah.
So Uber pool...
And they're raising the rates.
And they're raising the thing. They're raising the fucking cost of this failing legacy... subway system that's crippled every fucking day.
Yeah.
And now you can't get in an Uber pool
because
that's $28.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
They don't understand, like, and look, the jobs, people have jobs, right? The unemployment is as low as it can be. But everyone's working these fucking service jobs. Like,
yeah.
No one's making GM money anymore.
So what is the fucking point? We're going to save the environment by impoverishing everybody? Is that what we're trying to do?
They really think they can just tax their way like into this. There's not enough people to tax their way. And you know, it's amazing. I work in a place that's pretty liberal. You know, and like the people talk about billionaires and then talking about how, like, you know, they need to be taxed. And like, regardless of like how they don't understand it at all, like the machinations of it, but just the ethics of it, when it comes up for their taxes, they're gloating about how the expenses they take and they're, oh, I got my LLC and this and that. And like you say to them, like, oh, it's kind of the same deal. No, but I need it more.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I need it more.
Yeah.
And you go, there's got to be a limit where you don't need it anymore.
Well, the problem is, and Bill Burr talked about this. Fucking individuals at 70% who've made $10 million is crazy when you have corporations that pay no taxes.
Yeah.
And they are offshore and they route all their profits offshore. And there's this whole system of structured finance, which allows, and the New York Times, to their credit, did a great piece about it, how you have this entire system that has been erected to route profits off through these offshore companies.
Yeah, these fucking shell companies.
Shell corps, and these people that pay no taxes, or they go to cities like New York and London and buy up real estate with these shell companies to shield, you know, their tax burden and their ownership interest and all that stuff. And, you know, listen, man, I get it. I get the whole soak the rich concept. I'm not against it. I understand that rich people have gotten away with, especially the ones that are savvy, have gotten away with a lot. Okay?
Sure.
But a lot of that tax money goes to a defense department that plunders resources from around the world and pillages. It does not go to the people that it should go to.
Yeah,
that is a fact.
The remarkable thing, they're not going to redistribute wealth. They're going to shoot more 6-year-old Yemeni girls in the head.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be effective. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't tax people, but it's like, you know, we seem to forget that this is an economy entirely based on war.
Yeah.
For the most part.
No, yeah, for a long time it's been
that. For a long time. And this is when you get into the, well, you're being cynical and you're being this, you're being that. No, I'm stating a fact.
Right.
I'm not putting any emotion behind it.
Yeah.
It's a fact. We're a war economy.
Oh, no. Like, there is no... If you break down what makes America this exceptional country, you know, at this stage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for a while we had resources and we had industry, we were growing and all this shit. And circumstances of history and economic history. But at this point, all we're doing, like, there is no, even our financial industry is not the, like, it's the biggest capital market, but that's shifting over time. It's just the fact that we have the, like, by far, even, like, you know, accounting for history proportionally, the most insanely huge military that the world's ever seen, and we're still growing it.
Right.
And it's just like, and we don't, and like, it's like it dwarfs the number two is China, I guess, but they're like, you know, a fraction of it.
Yeah, I mean, we make nothing here.
Yeah.
Except
missiles, you know, drones, and drones that blow up Pakistani weddings.
You know, the machinery of death.
Right.
And so that's my thing. When I talk to people, I'm like, I have no problem with rich people paying more taxes. I have no problem with corporations paying their fair share. Sure. But I am realistic enough to know that a lot of that money is going to go into the coffers of defense industry people that are constantly creating the new threats of tomorrow.
Yeah.
They are creating the new threats.
Well, the other problem with AOC, it's like, you know, when I first saw her, people used to shit on me because I wasn't even supporting her, but like they were knee-jerk about her. And maybe they were right, because when I saw her, she was kind of coming on, like was interviews with the guy from CNN, whatever his name
Jake
is.
Jake Tapper.
Yeah. And it's just like she's coming off like, yeah, we're just trying to make it more reasonable for people. Why people should have healthcare. Everyone else has healthcare. Why don't we? And it was just like this very neutral, like, and she's this young, she's attractive, and like, yeah, we're not crazy socialists. This is normal. You're crazy for attacking it.
Yeah.
Like, this might work. This might sell. Yeah. And immediately, like not even over time, immediately, once she gets in there, this Green New Deal, it's just like this Marxist quasi, like people talk like the whole thing with the what was it? With the people who shouldn't want to, don't have to work. Don't want to work, shouldn't have to, kind of thing.
Yeah, the people that choose not to work.
And I get that was an early draft or whatever, but like, why are there people in your office even like sketching this out? Like, why?
Is surrounded by hardcore Marxists, 100%.
That's my
hardcore
point.
People that think the profit motive is completely evil, that markets have no place in the world, that it's never worked. These are people who, I guess, would rather live in the Soviet Union than America.
Well, they keep.
Let's be honest. Would you rather? I mean, it seems insane. And then they keep bringing up these Nordic countries that are not Marxist, that are
at all
a mix of.
They're, if you look at the metrics of there's organizations that like study like the metrics of economic freedom and different factors, and those kind of like Sweden is basically a free market country that has a social safety net.
Right.
Like they take the priority to go, hey, we're going to take care of people, but the economy is fucking free market economy basically.
Yeah, I think part of this is a response to a right wing that really is it pro oligarch plutocracy.
Sure.
Like a right wing that doesn't give a flying fuck, that really has become kind of this Koch brothers radical libertarian, you know, let's just have private fire departments and private enclaves. And when you go to LA, you see it, man. Everybody's behind fucking gates with security guards, and then you drive 5 minutes away, and there's tents.
Look, if your wife and kids get stabbed, we're gonna have a company that deals with that.
Right. Right.
You give them.
We just texted you a code. Did your wife get stabbed in the throat? We texted you a code. Insert the code, and you will get the email to sign you up for our services.
Send us a picture of your dead wife.
Yeah,
it comes back like we're not covering this. This is bullshit.
So that's where we are. We're at this fucking place where you have somebody that's like, how about we all take $80 Ubers until we have no money?
Well, this
or we just, you know, and people are like, oh, public transit is really bad. I'm like, you know how bad it's going to be if you completely eliminate the rideshare option?
Sure.
And just people are just now packed into this fucking thing?
Well, it's terrible. Look, this whole house of cards with the L train.
Yeah.
Because, like, they come in the last minute and, like, we actually found a way that Europe does that we're going to just shut it down. And then people are coming out, like, 2 days later going, like, no, we always had this option. It's not going to work. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the point is, the closures they're going to have on the L are still, like all weekend and nights and shit. And it's like, you're not going to, and you're also going to cripple the thing that could offset that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the fucking right. It's, they don't care, but they really, in this country, this city specifically, hate the poor. They want them to leave. They don't want them here.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't even mean poor. I mean, like, the working lower class.
No, because, and this is the problem when you have this hyper capitalist attitude where it's literally just about money.
Right.
The money does not have to come from people here that work here anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what people have kind of realized. If you just have this be a vertical money laundering scheme and capital pours in from all over the world, from Kazakhstan, from some guy that poisoned a river in Zambia, a mining magnate in India, you really don't need, you need worker bees, you need drones, you need people to keep doing that, but you don't really need to support a quality of life for human beings that aren't what you consider a net Plus.
And for a while, you needed people to work at the diners and the Starbucks. And,
that's all over.
Yeah, because now it's like these people are so rich, they're just getting private chefs and private fucking
and the reality is, how many of those places in 5 years are going to be fully automated?
Yeah.
Fully fucking automated, and that's what's terrifying.
With sex robots.
That's why it was sex robots. You go into a diner, you get your dick sucked while you wait for mozzarella sticks.
Shitty mozzarella sticks.
You know?
They still suck. They're still terrible.
They're still horrible. They're still burned.
The blowjob's not bad.
That's why you have Andrew Yang out there talking about the guaranteed income, the $1,000 a month. Yang gang.
Hey, can we just give these meth head truckers like $1,000, please?
Let's give them a G a month. I mean, listen, Yang is a dude who, you know, it's so funny. It's like, you look at all the issues we talk about campaigns. No one really talks about automation.
Right.
Nobody talks about AI. Nobody really talks about militarism in an intelligent way. They all ignore all of that.
Right.
And climate change is kind of ignored, too.
Yeah.
All of these things are ignored. And instead, what did we even talk about the last election? Like, I'm trying to remember, like, what were the hot-button issues?
Well, to be fair,
right.
I mean, look, it was pretty garish. We're talking about pussy grabbing.
Right.
And, like, I mean, Trump was such
and
a
emails.
Spectacle. Yeah.
Like, there was no thought to anything that's going to completely...
Right. The fact that, like, Hillary Clinton had to defend herself that, like...
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not saying she wasn't shady, but it's just like...
Yeah.
It's almost like you do some dirt so you don't have to talk about the real shit.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at that dinner up in Chappaqua, New York. Like, what now? What do you put yourself... Because, we hosted this show for a long time. We read a lot and interviewed a lot of people about these powerful, dynastic... or people with at least the aspirations to be dynastic,
right.
You know.
Upstarts.
Right. And what do you think is going through there? Do you think that she has fucking fully admitted it's over now? Because I would love, and I've said this, I would love all these Democratic candidates to destroy each other in the primaries. I'd like to see her get back in and win only because I watch this like House of Cards.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great storyline to watch for her to get back in and win.
Because the rest of them are all kind of punks.
They're all
punks.
She's
a gangster.
She's a gangster.
And,
Trump is not, there is no wall.
Right.
He's not reining Wall Street in. There is no populist revolution.
Yeah.
All of it has been primarily bluster.
I mean, look.
He's enforced immigration
on that aspect. It depends on how dark the hearts of these people are at this point. Because if it might appeal to them that he put those kids in cages, that might be a plus.
Sure, they might love that.
Right, but other than that, that's really
you say it's all talk, but there's a kid in a cage right there.
He's chewing on a granola bar.
Look at that kid in that cage. Imagine if they start having rallies exalting him for putting them in the cage.
Like fake kids and like
they have
cages in effigy.
They have like kids in the cages, like going like I deserve to be in this.
Parents are putting their kids in cages.
Yeah,
in the fucking prop.
The kids are like. The kid's like, there's just a little kid in a cage, and it's not a protest. It's a celebration.
Born in the USA.
It's a celebration of law and order. Look
circus.
At my baby in that cage. He knows he belongs there.
Happy as shit.
That's my goddamn leader. People have problems, okay? Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? It might be living in your own head, okay? We have a great new service called BetterHelp, okay? BetterHelp is great. This is a completely online counseling service. It offers professional counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and more. Okay? BetterHelp lets you connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential. They're not going to put it out. They're not going to live stream it. They're not going to live tweet your therapy session, okay? I mean, you can't stop them from doing it if they chose to, but they're not. These are professional people. They're not going to go on Instagram Live and say, can you believe this fuck on the other end? Can you imagine what this person's going through? What a nightmare. Thank God you're not this guy. They're not going to do any of that. These are professionals. BetterHelp is really cool. And I was curious about it. I signed up for it. I asked the person a few questions. They were very nice, very understanding. They seemed like a professional. I was very impressed with it because I was kind of skeptical. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But I think it's a pretty good idea. Many of you do not have the time to go out and see a therapist because you spend all day wallowing in self-pity, and it's just all, it's despair with you people. You spend an hour trying to come up with a caption to post something on social media to make other people think that you're not living in a hell of your own creation, but let's be honest, you are. So I think you just got to go to BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. Get 10% off your first month by going to BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. Folks, all you do is fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a professional counselor who you'll love. You in the feet? Who cares? They don't judge. It's BetterHelp. You want to kill your mother? Don't do it. Go to BetterHelp/Tim Dillon. Can you not experience intimacy because of a childhood experience? Go to BetterHelp/Tim Dillon. Are you envious of others so much so that it impedes your progress on earth? Go to BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. Are you self-harming or harming others? Go to BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. And meet a therapist who you can text with, you can message with, and they will help you. Okay, you don't need to leave your house. That's where the problems start. Okay? All you need to do is go to BetterHelp.com, Tim Dillon, get 10% off your first month. Okay? 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com, Tim Dillon. So
yeah, there is a lot to hit him with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there is
no better candidate than Hillary. Let's get real.
I mean, Biden, I don't know. Biden seems compromised. What was he doing? Hugging people? Whatever. I don't know. Maybe
Bernie's the only person
right. That
other than Hillary, I think, has a shot.
Well, here's the big
Kamala's
question.
Kamala's a Fed.
Yeah.
Buttigieg, I mean, the gay mayor, sweet guy, yeah. But this is not going to work.
Andrew
probably.
Yang's just not. I mean, I like him, but he's not box office.
No.
Here's
who else we got in there? Warren is a clown.
Well, she's going straight for impeachment now, so maybe that's a.
I mean, listen, let them do whatever they want. He's right. Not getting removed. They can impeach him.
They have one guy who I'll bring up in a second. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. The situation is that who is going to come to Hillary and say, "Hey, it's over, lady"? There's
right.
No one there. Who, Terry McAuliffe or
right.
Donald Summer? Who,
John Podesta?
Yeah, like, who has the clout? There is no one really guiding the Democratic Party.
No.
The way you have, like...
Obama would maybe be somebody?
If he got involved. If they got him and said, "Hey, bitch, it's over. Done."
Could he run as her VP?
I guess...
No.
I don't know. Because you might be able to run and then just... It skips you in succession. Or you wouldn't be able to take
I'm trying to think if he could run as a VP.
I wonder if they would keep you from, because have they had foreign VPs before?
I don't know.
It's possible. I mean,
because here's why. Because if the president dies, then you become the president.
Here's the thing.
And then you'd be serving a.
If Trump has shown us anything, it's like the law don't matter. Who gives a shit? You think they're gonna complain? Hillary's in there and she dies.
Biden's getting in, but no one's gonna vote for him because he's a little bit of a creep.
He's a little bit of a creep. I mean, he's hugging, he's grabbing.
He's touching.
Yeah, he's touching a bit. But it does seem warm. I tell you, he seems like that kind of guy who, it was never me. I could never pull that off.
Yeah.
But like, you see him doing it, why can't I do that? Why can't I hug people?
I'll tell you right now, I've watched some of it. I don't love it.
Right.
I see it as a, like I say to myself, I don't think he's a pedophile, and I don't think he's any of that. Because, no, he touches girls,
oh,
children.
Really?
I mean,
oh.
You see him touching.
I didn't catch that. Okay.
People, kids get very uncomfortable around him. I just think that it's enough of an issue
to
probably knock him off.
Well, I think we've entered an age, you know, besides the Me Too, even though, like, you know, it kind of seems to be over, unfortunately,
yeah.
And, like, women, whatever. It's But I think we have gotten away from touching to a large extent. We're over touching.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I just, because again, looking at this from straight storyline, if I had faith that anyone who was going to be elected was going to do anything good,
right.
I would support that person. I'm not the, but, you know, a Sanders is a guy that I could probably support because I think that he's enough of a shock to the system. But do I know in my black heart of hearts that, you know, 4 years of him, what's he going to get? He'll get, like, free community college. I know what these people are up against.
I think.
When it comes to changing the system.
They need to look a few cycles back. And
yeah.
Maybe go take another look at Crazy Howard Dean.
Interesting.
Because that's a guy who might be able to harness, not the actual.
Howard Dean.
Remember Howard Dean?
Yeah. He did the scream.
We're going to go Ohio. We're going to go Cincinnati. We're going to go Delaware.
And that one scream ended his career.
Well, it was the nail in the coffin. People always forget, though, like, that speech was happening because he just had a huge upset loss in the fucking primaries.
Right.
So he was already kind of, people were like, this guy's a little nuts.
But I will say that when you know, anything short, and I'm not endorsing this, okay, but it does seem like anything short of a violent thing doesn't really change this. Doesn't change. The system is so big.
Sure.
It'll either collapse under its own weight or it'll be... I mean, listen, I'm all for getting a socialized medicine. I'm all for these things. But let's be completely honest about what is going on.
Well, people say, well, we just got to get money out of politics as if that's like the... So, oh, we just got to figure that out. That's the that's the whole thing, getting money out of politics.
That, not only is that the whole thing, in the UK...
Yeah.
They do not have the money in politics like we do.
Right.
They have a lot of the same problems.
Sure.
They're doing a lot of the same things wrong.
Well, back to...
They're all over the world.
Yeah.
They're fucking around. Like, they're not, you know, it's a lot of the same critiques of their society and their foreign policy as you, you know.
Yeah, and back to Sweden, I mean, first of all, they admit, like, you talk to these guys who, like, you know, the economists who are in Sweden, like,
right.
Well, we tax the rich, but we also, like... heavily taxed the poor and the middle class. Let's not forget
everybody's taxed.
Yeah, a lot, which is fine. I mean, they're getting a lot for their money, so it's fine. But also, like, I mean, at first it didn't work out that well, but they kind of learned from their mistakes. They invested their pension funds really well.
Yeah.
And they basically exploited Western capital markets and, like, you know, because we got a lot of yahoos here trying to make $1 billion.
Sure.
And they're just, like, smartly kind of exploiting that. And so even if we did the right thing, who is big enough of an economy that we could ride on their back? That's the problem.
It's
like, how do we, who, where's our pension fund going?
Well, I talk to people that are really hardcore leftists, or not even leftists, but hardcore, like I would say Marxists, a lot of them fall into two groups. One, they're wealthy and somewhat guilty.
Right.
Okay. Number two, there's some tragedy that, that they have either experienced or been a party to, and like they've seen, like, because there's a lot of problems out there, and capitalism, especially the strain of it that we have, which you've always talked about, is not purely Adam Smith capitalism.
Yeah.
It is a hybrid of the public and private sector in the worst possible way.
Right.
Add in a Congress and Senate who are being blackmailed by intelligence agencies that are running around assassinating people and fixing so what the criminality that we've got going on, there are people that have kind of lost their belief in the system and want to burn the whole thing down.
Sure.
And that's on the right. They are also the same people. The people that are in the alt-right are no fans of this free market system.
Well, look, if you look at Nazism a guy like Friedrich Hayek, who some of you might be familiar with, one of his big things was drawing a parallel. Like, look, the far right Nazis and the far left Marxists are a lot close. They both hate Western liberalism, which is what it was called back then, like just capitalism and just free markets and people having freedom, basically. Like, they would actually switch sides, he'd observe. Like, these students would go back and forth between Marxism and
Bernie
fascism.
Bro, Trump, you know.
But they would never go to, like, you know, to free market shit.
Well, it does seem like, I think, a lot of the issues with neoliberalism is that in this, it is so easily gamed.
Right.
And that you know, there's a certain type of person that thrives in that system, and that system is, you know, easy to exploit.
Yeah.
And you look at authoritarian systems and you go, well, if we could clamp down, then that brings up another whole host of problems.
Sure. And what's interesting, I was rereading Road to Serfdom, which is a book he wrote basically about how any the premise is that basically even a well-meaning socialist system will eventually fall into fascism.
Right.
And you can dispute if you want, but what's interesting when you're rereading it, and this is a guy who, like, free market people hold up as their, and the opposite goes, look at this, these basically crony anarcho-capitalists.
Right.
And in the first introduction, he's going, like, look, it's not only permissible in a capitalist state to have, like, regulation that increases competition.
Right.
It's we want that. That's better. It's optimal.
Yeah.
Like, it's as long as you don't fuck with the price mechanism. But like, you know, but like, yeah, regulate this shit. Like this idea that like capitalism is tied to no regulation.
It's crazy.
It's insanity.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And that's the problem we have now. Is your new podcast with your girlfriend, Lucy Steiner, Our Love is Disgusting, yes, about anarcho-capitalism?
It's basically about anarcho-capilism, but filtered through me trying to get pegged.
A lot of the pictures you're posting are graphic.
Well, they're graphic or they're just disgusting. I mean,
well, they're both.
Our tongues are touching.
Well,
or
it's
we're slobbering on each other.
It's a PDA. It's public display of affection, yeah, on Instagram.
Right.
What is it's Our Love is Disgusting. What is this about?
Look, we're both sexual beings,
yeah,
and we both have a weird sexual picadillos. And look, there's a lot. I think it's true.
She's very open about all her issues.
And, oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, in the first episode, we're talking about one of her basically an extended rape fantasy that she had about a guy in the woods.
Right.
You know,
but
a lumberjack.
She said something at dinner the other night that she talks about on stage. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it? That's true.
Yeah, she brought it up on a different podcast,
and it's that she had sex with her father.
Well, I wouldn't say it was raped, I guess.
Well, her father raped her.
I mean, we don't talk about it this. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I should be talking about this openly, but yeah, but that's something that happened.
Jeez,
it's an unfortunate thing. And
how old?
Young.
Not good.
Not good. No,
not great.
We don't really talk about it in our podcast too much.
Right,
but. But no, it's something. But she's very, you know, she may have jokes on stage about it, and it's. I've never met anyone who is that willing to make light of the darkness the way I would, the way you would.
Well, I would be, but yeah. My parents didn't rape me,
right?
But I would be.
No, but
they'd be great jokes.
But
too.
It's also more light than that. It's not, you know.
No, it is fun. Yeah. It's hey. It's a hoot.
The show is not so much about, you know, trauma as
right.
You know, we discussing how she could peg me, or
right.
One night we had a show where we were talking about, you know, why won't she piss on me? And she didn't. I wasn't trying to convince her like, oh, you have to piss on me, but
right.
She wanted to make a schedule out of it. And I'm like, no, why?
How soon do you think you're deplatformed and Alex Jones is put back on?
I mean, that's the goal. We're
think Alex Jones will get put back on Twitter and you'll be taken off Twitter?
We're agent provocateurs.
Yeah.
But
It is an interesting idea. You guys are both very open. And if you're into sexual fetishes or fantasies or just being open.
And look, the reality is, it's comedy first.
Yeah, it's comedy first.
Which, you know, it's a subject.
It's child rape and piss fetishes later.
Yeah.
But it's first.
Look, it's the primary thing is being
comedy.
Funny.
It's comedy.
It's honestly, I also have my podcast, Comp. That's still going on.
Sure.
But I feel like, and look, if you like Love is Disgusting, check out Comp.
Sure,
but
go back and
but
forth.
But everyone, I think, I'm really proud of this.
I was watching a Tonight Show set the other day, and today in my Uber, and I was going, what is comedy now? Like, what is, like, you've always had a great outlook on this.
Yeah.
Like, literally, what is this? Like, I was watching it, and I was saying to myself,
yeah,
I can no longer differentiate what is done at an open mic
yeah.
from what is done on the Tonight Show. From what is done on like a special on HBO, like
you showed
I'm
me,
lost.
Well, look, half these people are going back to the open mic right after.
Right.
Let's kid ourselves.
Right,
but yeah, like I remember you showed me a few years back. Like, you showed me some clip, and like, you're going, "Do you like this?" I'm like, I don't know what.
It was so funny. I said, "Is it good?" And you go, "I don't even know." You're like, "I don't even know anymore."
Yeah,
what is good?
Here's a problem.
Yeah,
I don't think that the idea that this city's any more full of amazing comedy that's
right.
ripe to be, and that people just being overlooked. I don't know if that's true anymore.
Right.
I think, you know, I do think a lot of this stuff is more like people are just safer. People are, I think it's trickled down over the years. I not that like, you want edgelord comedy, but you want people to be taking risks on stage. You want things to be a little uncomfortable, and you want to see someone, like, you know, set an uncomfortable premise and then work back and like and get you back on board.
That's whole reason for this thing,
yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't that what's a try? But what I see now is I see people that are doing a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Or they're essentially like, building these little castles of words and puzzles, and some of them are better at it than others. Some
right.
of them are more entertaining than others, but it's kind of getting, it feels corny.
Yeah.
It feels corny, and it feels like, it's
people
like.
People I talk to, younger people, like, and at this point, you know, the people who are 10 years younger than me are 22. You know, I'm getting, so you're seeing this next generation kind of, you know, come of age, and they're like, their stance on comedy is like, oh, I like her. She's chill. Like, what? Like, how is that? What?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like,
she's chill.
They really, this younger generation doesn't like conflict. Yeah. Like in general, they don't like conflict. I mean, I'm sure there's young people stabbing each other too. They're out there. But in general, they like people who don't like. Because I think the idea of chill is just like you're not, like you kind of just don't care and you're kind of detached and you kind of, hey.
Yeah, I also think like nobody wants to be in awe of people anymore.
Yes.
Like I talked about that the other day where I said you used to have acts that you'd be in awe of.
You watch Carlin and it's
you're
just
in awe. Even go back to Rolling Stones, Tina Turner, anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And now a lot of the things that are that you know are attractive to people are really things where people are like, I can do that, and they're right.
Yeah.
They're correct.
Well, even the stuff that's good, like for 10-15 years now at least, there hasn't been like consensus popular rock music.
Right.
It's just gone. Like White Stripes is probably the last thing, or Black Keys.
Yeah.
But like, but there's tons of like, you hear good bands.
Can we get Bad Baby in here? Let's get Bad Baby, because there is some good shit still happening.
What's my point?
Let's get Bad Baby. That song where she goes, White Porsche, White Horse. Find that. Keep going.
No, but the point is there is good stuff out there, but like everyone wants it to be a band they can see in a bar.
Right.
And like, I saw them when they were new. And it's always been there, but that's become the whole, like every band's going to have 3,000 people on Patreon that keep them going, but no one wants a huge act. No one wants like arena act. And look, sometimes when it was like, you know, the Foo Fighters, all right, I can see how it's a little, I mean, they were fine, but like, you know, when you had guys like Bruce and you had guys like, you know, even like Nirvana and like, you know, legitimate great. Like, you just mentioned Pumpkins live a few times.
Let's listen to Bad Baby, please. Pump it up. Pump it up.
Hi, bitch.
This is great.
I like this.
This is great.
Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop.
This is phenomenal.
Provocative.
That fit look like you bought it at IKEA.
Now, this woman was on Phil. And she told her mother. Yeah. No. Catch me outside. She's great. So what we need to do is go to like these fucking, these homes for like, you know, wayward children and get them.
Well, that's always what great art's been.
Yes.
I mean, really, it's been.
I don't want somebody in Juilliard. I want this dirty whore.
I mean, if we ignore all the fucking classic rock bands that, you know, whose dads were CIA agents.
Sure.
But, you know, otherwise, there's always poor people.
Shout out to Dave McGowan on the other side. But this is like, this is where it's at now.
You need.
And people are surprised, like, why is she good? It's like, she's good because she's an animal.
Yeah.
But that's what we want. Turn it up again, Harrington, please.
White horse.
Listen.
Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch.
This is great. Bitch.
Grown as hell and you still hating.
All right, thank you. See, this is the type of girl that you don't want your son to marry. Well, maybe now you do. But, like, what's good about her is that she's, this is literally somebody who is a garbage person, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what I want.
Right.
I want somebody who is authentically a hefty bag.
What's interesting is you had gangster rap, right? You had guys like Biggie and Tupac, who, maybe Biggie more than Tupac, is a legitimate guy from the street. Tupac, I think his parents might
have been. Who knows?
Yeah. My point is, but they were doing the real shit. That was like, they were reflecting the lower class of the time and people who were in bad situations.
Yes.
And society said, not good enough.
Right.
We want trashier.
Right.
We want the real animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The maniacs. Yeah, and really, I mean, and you need to go to crazy white people, I think, you know, to get the real, like, oh, you had the opportunity, you spoiled it, took all your privilege and you threw it in the garbage.
Well, there's something about, you know, like, there's something that's funny about, like, you know, the system for introducing new talent for a while was, like, fucking game shows. It was like American Idol, The Voice, you know? And so here's a girl that went on Dr. Phil and goes, catch me outside, how about that? Yeah, I'll beat my mother's ass. Yeah, and it's like, okay. But then you listen to music and you're like, oh, that's exactly what she should be doing and saying.
Right.
I mean.
No, this is.
I'm not saying she's fucking The Who. I'm saying for the genre of music she's doing, why the fuck not?
I don't like it when people take the cheap shot and go, look, the president is doing this shit. You know, young people are looking up to it. But that being said, if the president is doing that, how trashy is she anymore? This country's fucked.
My whole point was that a game show host is a president. Bad Baby, the girl on Dr. Phil, is one of our top rising recording artists. The worst thing in the world would be for this civilization to survive.
Yeah.
That would be horrible. The worst thing that could ever happen would be for us to reverse the correcting effects of global warming.
Can you? Because it's very.
What does this look like in 50 years?
Here's the thing: it's still going to be documented. It's not like the Roman Empire where we don't. Like, man, was it lead poisoning? Yeah. Why did everyone go crazy? And like, you know, the Huns, this and that. They're gonna know. So 1,000 years from now, they're gonna look back in America and see it collapsed like this.
I was watching the Kardashians the other day. I think they're great. I like them. I can't hate them because they've played a game so well.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's part of the problem with these chill kids. They also respect the hustle too much.
Well, but here's... Allow me to make a point about the Kardashians, because I think this gets lost on people. They have a family of people there who have completely created an entire infrastructure to exist in, to thrive in. I mean... I don't think there's ever been, other than the Bushes, I'm not even kidding, a family that's maybe more successful at managing their public image and the media and, like, you know, working with fucking, I mean, the young girl Kylie's a billionaire.
Right. And just by, like, saying, hey, I use this cologne. And like,
yeah. But I mean.
What's remarkable?
There's something fascinating about it. If you don't watch it as like, I don't watch that show a lot, but every now and then I'll put it on. I don't watch it for like, ooh, is there drama? I watch it and I'm like, what is going on here that makes this a because I'll even watch it and I'll go, I find myself, I'm relatively intelligent, I find myself going, this is kind of interesting. Why? Why is it interesting?
And what's remarkable is, I'm not saying this is all done cynically, but it's remarkable how it worked out that like you have... Speaking about these rich, beautiful women, you know, with getting ass implants and doing porn videos to get famous.
Yes.
Talking shit. And that family is also on the spearhead of the most progressive, you know, with Caitlyn Jenner. I'm saying, like,
interesting.
That overlaps with, like,
it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. And people don't give it the credit. And they come from the best part of my childhood, the O.J. Simpson trial.
Right.
The O.J. Simpson trial was the best part of my childhood because every day there was something new and fun on television. And they come from that. Like, dude, I am not kidding. I sometimes think they are kind of quasi-religious figures.
If it wasn't for the 1-2 punch, they were a few years apart, of the first Iraq war. And
just
then
go to YouTube and get up. Just Say No, Jay, Comedy Central. Don't play it yet. I'll tell you when to play it. This was my first time on Comedy Central in 1995.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I was saying, but between the first Gulf War and OJ, would there even be like 24-hour cable news at all?
That's what
it created this whole thing.
It spawned this family, and then what I love is I hate the Hiltons. I've always hated the Hiltons, and the Hiltons, they totally displaced the Hiltons.
Right. Oh,
like
100%.
The Kardashians came in and fucking, she used to be Paris Hilton's like assistant and stylist, and they came in and totally just fucking displaced.
Well, what's the weird thing is, like, at this point, are they rich? I don't know, maybe not. Are they richer than the actual Hilton family?
I don't know, but I would say that if you took all of their wealth together, probably.
Wow.
I mean.
Because for a while, it was like, oh, well, you know, like.
Maybe not. I mean, we'll do that. Let's take a look at this, by the way. Let's take a look at Just Say No, Jay, my first time on Comedy Central. Here we go. Let's make sure the volume's up and we can enjoy this. This is a sketch about the O.J. Simpson trial that they were playing.
Not now, Trevor. Down. Hey, that's my bone.
Careful, Trevor.
Was it after that point that he told you he'd take the next flight?
Yes.
And you then
Just Say No, Jay, from Comedy Central.
And that was my...
You were great. You were great.
I did well.
I don't know what that means.
Well, they were playing it as a commercial, as a promo. Like, just say no, Jay, watch Comedy Central.
Oh, okay.
So because everybody, you got to remember, everybody was watching the O.J. Simpson trial all the time. So there's a few different cable networks that were like, hey, can you fucking, we're here.
Hey, you'd think for a comedy network, maybe make a funny promo, but whatever.
Come on. You know what it is. What are you new?
The fucking trial's funnier than that shit.
They tried. Listen, I will say this about Comedy Central. They've made some of the funniest shit out there.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Honestly, some of the best shows.
South Park.
Nathan For You.
Reno 911.
Strangers with Candy.
They're literally.
No, they remarkable work over the years.
The problem is.
At that time, they were doing great stuff.
They were doing great work. Now, yeah. If you're listening out there, and I know some of you are, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Sometimes you just walk away from the table. When you had a good meal, you don't order the dessert, which everybody goes is eh. I'm telling you so, but they've done a lot. They've done a lot of cool shit. But there's something fascinating, man. When I look at that Kardashian family, I'm like, this mom, this mother, Kris Jenner,
right.
And the way that she's been able, because you got to think about it. The kids are now. Rob is the only one that doesn't fit in with the program, so he's out.
He's done, right?
He got fat. He sells socks, whatever.
Yeah.
But she's been able to kind of corral the rest of them,
and somehow overlap with the NBA remarkably.
I mean, and then Kim is now married to Kanye.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So it's a wild.
Did they ruin him, or is he already kind of on the way?
I think he has issues.
Yeah.
But I don't think they helped.
Yeah.
I think, and now Ryan Seacrest like helped.
What?
Create that show.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he's, you know.
Oh.
That's why he was
that's
like.
They couldn't Me Too him, right?
They can't Me Too him. Standing on the thing, he's like, bitch, Me Too me? So it is weird, man. I watched that show and I'm like, this family, it's an interesting thing.
They still have all the shows? Like, it's not winding down?
Well, they have the one main show. I don't know how many other shows they have. I think they just returned to the main show because now they have so many other business. Like the kid has a fashion line. She's a billionaire. It's a makeup line. She's a billionaire.
All the respect for them.
Yeah.
Great hustle. But these kids who like somehow it's cool to sell to me. Like I was never the test balloon. I was never the guy that the advertisers were worried about.
Right.
But that being said, I used to
skull advertisers were. They were trying to get to
Did
you.
Did he shove more in his lip?
They were trying to get to you.
But the idea, I always found it like kind of gross when like the ad was too, because it used to be like, you know,
yeah, listen,
a funny
I'm
ad
not,
was fine.
I'm not saying that I don't when I talk about them or Bad Baby. I'm not saying this is a hooray for society. I've been pretty clear about my feelings about society and its direction. I don't think there's any confusion here.
Right.
What I'm saying is when you look at this shed and you look at what has happened and you look at them as a family, you go, what an interesting family to represent essentially America. I mean, they represent America more than anyone we've ever elected.
I'm barely even asking this, but
yeah.
Kim could win the presidency, right?
I think probably.
Yeah, I mean, who was going
to
be?
I got to be honest with you. I would vote for her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I would vote for her. I think she's smarter than a lot of people.
Sure.
I'm not kidding. I know that a lot of people now are going to be angry with me or be upset. I get all these messages, you know. But I don't think she's like adult.
I never
have thought that.
Well, look, you,
she's a hard worker, too. I know people that know her. She works her ass off.
There's the thing. Look, you don't have to.
How great is this thing? Nobody would have predicted that the way the show is gone, the last 10 minutes of it would just be a hardcore defense of the Kardashians. Like, nobody could have predicted where this would go.
We zig and zag.
But
the idea is, like, people really who just accomplish very little in their lives.
Yes.
They love to talk about how smart someone is, how she doesn't work that hard. I mean, just getting up every day and doing these photo shoots is more than most of these people are doing.
I want to tell you about our newest personal sponsor, folks, Wix.com. Wix is the place to create professional websites. Many of my friends are irredeemable losers. And I'm telling you, they just, their entire lives, it's, you know, they're maybes. They're ne'er-do-wells. They come close to something, and they never quite get it. They wrest defeat from the jaws of victory over and over again. Why? Why? Easy. They don't have a fucking website. You need a website. You need a place online that people can go, get to know you, get familiar with your work. It makes you seem like a professional. Many of you aren't. Especially if you're in the entertainment business, everything's a scam. Everything's a scam until it's not. You have to put out the idea that you're more professional than you are. You can't just do it with social media. I know you like to think you can. You have a good Instagram. Your Twitter's kind of funny here and there. But you need to corral all of your different social media links, past examples of your work, a little fucking bio, agents or managers or fucking, you know, pretend. And it doesn't have to only be for the entertainment business. If you're in sales, if you're doing anything, you're a graphic designer, whatever you're fucking doing, if you're a graphic designer, you better fucking be able to build a website. But whatever you're doing, you need to get people's attention and you need to take your work and have it go somewhere online. I'll be honest with you. That's what it is. So you can start from scratch if you know what you're doing, or choose from either over 500 stunning templates. They have the world's most innovative drag and drop website builder. I am retarded when it comes to technology, and I can even do this. In fact, you can use your Wix ADI, which is artificial design intelligence. With Wix ADI, you can first answer a few simple questions about who you are. I'm a loser. What you do? Nothing. And the ADI will create a stunning website for you. Okay, even if you're a fucking zero, you're a net minus on society, doesn't matter. You can clean that image up with a beautiful Wix website. Folks, don't believe me? Go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, okay? If you go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, click the link at the bottom. They'll give you 10% off any premium plan. It's a beautiful website. You can see how we've really dressed ourselves up here, and it's very important for you to do. You probably don't have $1 trillion. This is not expensive. What it does is it gets you out there, puts all your work in a place where people can easily navigate and find it, and you could do it in a cost-effective way. If you go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, go to the website, see what it looks like, click the link at the bottom, okay? Wix will give you 10% off any premium plan. Fake it until you fucking make it, folks. And many of you out there need to keep faking it. Fake it forever. Pretend. Delude not only yourself. That's the problem with many of you. You're only deluding yourself. You need to delude others. You need to make others think you're great. You think you're great because you're fucking insane. But you need to get other people on board. It's an emotional Ponzi scheme, this life, okay? You need to put yourself out there in a way that makes you seem professional and capable when you are anything but. And the great way to do that is Wix.com. Please go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, link at the bottom, 10% off any premium plan. Don't be stupid. Don't be caught out there without a website. Somebody wants to fucking hire you. They're not going to your fucking Instagram. They want to see you have a fucking site. They want to see that you're an actual business. There's a lot of people in the world, and I've noticed this as I've kind of, you know, done more and more stuff, that are not interested in doing.
Right.
They're not. They're interested in sitting, critiquing. They've gotten very comfortable on the sidelines. That's where they want to stay. Even in comedy, you'll see people that tweet all day criticizing other comics. Those people, and I've said shit about the late night shows I think suck and whatever, but like you see people that criticize comics all day and you realize, oh, you guys are not interested in doing anything yourselves.
Right.
You don't have it to do it because you're probably terrified of failing. You're terrified of people are like, oh, they're scared of rejection. They're not scared of rejection. They're scared of getting the opportunity and failing.
They all shit on these YouTube comics for making these videos.
Who are better and funnier than 90% of what's out there.
I mean, you're making these great videos. I started making videos recently.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think they're the most amazing thing, but yeah. Just go out there and do something. Like, just do it.
And do it. When I watch stand-up now, and I don't know what happened, but over the last 6 months, a lot of stand-up has started to blend together to me where I can barely tell you who's who and why they're doing it. None of these people seem to have a perspective or a personality. None of these people seem interesting. And again, I'm not going to attack them and be like, you suck and this sucks and you shouldn't have a show. But it's like, just speaking very generally, and it's not throwing barbs at anybody, The art form itself has kind of become milquetoast.
Well, yeah, the guys who look over, you always had this kind of like divide between like the Bill Hicks camp, if you will,
yeah,
and then like more like guys who would get on, you know, like get sitcom gigs or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm assuming there was a more legitimate divide years ago, but now the guys who are filling the Bill Hicks role, like, yeah, in a milk, they're not being edited. They're like, I mean, Hicks and Carlin were like taking on the military industrial complex in like middle America and shit, and they were like dick jokes and stuff. But it's like these people are just so safe, but they're acting like they're these auteurs and these fucking like,
yeah, there is no more counterculture,
right?
There really truly is not a lot of people on the counterculture. I think there's a lot of people who, because Trump was elected, they tend to think that all of the progress over the last 50 years has been erased.
Right.
So then they believe that they are standing against the tide of all of this stuff that's supposedly coming back, where if you look at, and I'm not saying it isn't harder for certain groups of people, but if you look at the numbers here, most people are pro-choice. Most people are kind of pro-gay marriage, especially in the younger generations. Most people are aware of racism, not to say that they're too effective in doing anything about it, but like the election of this guy doesn't mean that everything has been reversed,
right?
And that now you're the,
I just find it a little gross because, like, yeah, I mean, like, racism is still a problem, and you want inclusion, but like, there's no sense of like, all right, even when you thought it was better 20 years ago, you were still, I mean, you were, even Obama, like, he's fucking drone striking Pakistani weddings, killing kids.
No one cares.
No one gives a shit about the rest of the world.
No one cares.
We literally act like a literal empire.
Yeah.
And we're just starting war. Bush starts a war, anywhere from 150,000 to a million people die. And yeah, there was protests. I'm not saying no one protests. But I mean, this is the, like, Trump is terrible, in my opinion. You can disagree.
Sure.
But yeah, he's abhorrent. He's saying terrible. It's just bad for society.
Yeah.
But is he worse than Bush?
No. No, and the thing is, it exposes us and our core. We are the only business left in America, sadly, is the entertainment business. And we are all very invested in the idea of how we come off.
Yeah.
And what we, but the real true nature of what we're doing, as long as it's fucking like underground and we don't see it and we don't hear it and it doesn't rise to the top and it doesn't bleed into the national news, and we don't give a fuck, because it takes research, it takes caring, it takes you to take a few minutes away from whatever the fuck you're doing, and people just really have no interest in that. They want to feel like when people voted for Obama, they felt like they were moving the country in a positive direction, and some of them were. But then you had five wars. And you had Yemen being destroyed, and you had Syria and Libya, and you had Iraq and Afghanistan.
And the weird thing is, I think it's
journalists
much as
being intimidated. Oh, yeah. All of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Whistleblowers
being tortured.
He campaigned to a certain extent on, like, we're going to encourage whistleblowing, and then had the worst record.
And by the way, this is not even a knock on Obama. This is the idea that this is the way the system just continually works.
The tragic thing is, I'm cynical. I don't think he was, like, you know, but I do think of the pool of people.
Yeah.
He was one of the more, like, he wanted to do the right thing. I believe he, to a certain extent, he did. And
that's what people don't get. And this is what people don't get about Bernie Sanders. And this is what people don't get about Trump. And this is what people seem to not get about anybody, is that any one person is going against hundreds of years of a system.
Right.
Think about an animal that's been fed every day to become this, you know, unruly beast.
Yeah.
And then you're one guy, and somebody hands you a sword, and you go in there and you're like, all right, let me try to do something, and, you know, maybe you can injure its leg, but this is still a massive operation.
People are still acting or talking as if we have this paradigm where, like, you could shame people, like, you could shame politicians, when the reality is, like, the insurmountable thing, it would seem, is that you have corrupt people. We talk about corruption.
Yeah.
But they act like, oh, but we can kind of overcome that. But you're asking for corrupt people to vote for the things that would remove their power. And it's that's
I don't know how this changes without some type of truly wild thing. Whether it's a world war, whether it's an intergalactic problem, whether it's a massive die-off, a pandemic.
Because the sad thing is that, you know, if you did have a lot of violence on the street, I mean, I'm not advocating that, but that's just, you know, if you did have that, it would probably play into the hands of fascism more than any kind of
freedom. Into the hands of the people that would then just unleash the amazing power of the state to clamp down on it. I think you'd have to have mass civil disobedience. You'd have to have but I just
then you get
don't.
One agent provocateur throwing a fucking, you know, a pipe bomb.
Yeah, I'm trying
and
to
then
get,
it becomes a fucking terrorist.
Yeah, that's a problem. And you know, I'm trying to get Hedges in here, and we'll, you know, me and him will maybe talk about, you know, but I think what's far more likely, what's far more likely is just a slow unwinding of,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the next 50 years being a 50 years where the people that you will see rising to positions of power are charlatans, hucksters, con artists, because those are always the people who come in at the end and they'll fight over the scraps.
Well, the interesting thing is, because like we talked about before, like, yeah, the normal thing would be in this case for like this empire to unwind itself over the course of a century.
Right.
But you still have this like insane military.
Sure.
So do we start a war with China? Like, what like, you know, these people are, it's not beyond these people.
Nothing is beyond these people.
So like that's going to be interesting.
Nothing
horrifying.
Is beyond these people. A lot of people in the upper echelons of society are stunningly naive, willfully ignorant of what's going on. I think there's this, you know, you got Harvard and Yale and all these people. They are products of a system that rewards conformity and encourages the type of discourse that leads to one conclusion,
right,
in most cases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have the rise of the far right and the far left, because these are people that are offering another option. Probably not a better option.
Right.
But another option.
They're giving you the illusion of action.
They're giving you the illusion of something's going on. But I don't know. You know, when I talk to people all the time, they're like, well, what happens? How does it play out? And I go, I don't know anything. I just know that from talking to you and from talking to other people I know about economics, you know, a big event will probably be when the dollar is no longer the reserve currency.
Right. Is that, I mean, and
that seems, a few people have said that that will be an event.
And people, I mean, I think we're moving away from that for, you know, a number of reasons, I guess, but that was kind of a real big concern, immediate concern.
Right.
Like, you know, and people thought by now even it might be kind of, and there seems that we've kind of shored up like that for a while, but we're built on such a house of cards when it comes down to it. This whole Keynesian bubble shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's remarkable they've kept it going for.
What do you make of the Steven Pinkers of the world who are like, it's great, everything's good? Because they do point to statistics of like people coming out of poverty in the third world, people being lifted out of poverty, infant mortality, you know, the ability to stop diseases, breakthroughs in science and technology, the availability of medicine, like things like that going forward, that they have a rosy outlook.
Well, Tim, look, here's a problem. It's undeniable to me that capitalism and the efficiency that goes along with it, and a number of other, you know, in a controlled way, has able to kind of raise up a lot, you know, agriculture and fucking this and that. But yeah, and so yeah, we're better off than we were. But it's also like, yeah, the Industrial Revolution, the technology revolution, but that also came sort of out of capitalism. And like, capitalism, if nothing else, is efficient, right?
Right.
But you need to, like, mind the store. You have to, like, you know, make sure people aren't, you know, just tearing each other, the country apart.
Well, also, there's a lot of ethical and moral problems. And, you know, Slavoj Žižek and Peterson had that debate, which was kind of went nowhere. But, you know, Slavoj Žižek had that point where it's like, you're going to now hit this real moral question where you have biotech, you know, going into some very scary, interesting places.
Sure.
And if we're just looking at efficiency,
right,
we're going to be in trouble because you're looking at some very, very questionable areas.
What bugs me about, because it's become very like,
it's going to be efficient to just put a chip in your arm so that if you pass out, somebody could know what medications you're on, what diseases you have, what any of your problems are, so that
the efficiency of the market and the efficiency of, and look, it's a response. At the end of the day, first of all, what did Franklin say? When they asked him what kind of government we're going to have, he's like, a republic if you can keep it.
Sure.
And then the idea, and really, and I believe that's really a powerful sentiment in the idea that like,
We have not kept it.
But, you know, and I think 100 years ago, you know, whether you're on the right or the left, there's people who talk about how the average worker, the average working guy, whatever, immigrants, and we're much better informed and much more engaged in the facts and in politics and in just, you know, in the world. And they've spent 100 years using the, you know, advertising and television and movies and music to basically, you know, a combination of, you know, mind control, but also just like desensitizing and like, hey, like, yeah, go play your your iPad. Right. And I get it. It's fun. I like video games.
You like the cup game?
I like the Cuphead. Yeah.
Yeah, but then what happens? You lose your phone.
I lose my fucking phone, and then PayPal fucks me.
You
lose your
phone, and then you're in this Terry Gilliam film where they're like, no, you did make that purchase.
Right, exactly.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. That's where we are. We're all in an Uber pool playing a cup game, losing our phone, trying to get a password, and everybody's telling us to fuck off.
Right.
Where can people find you?
Our Love is Disgusting. It's on iTunes, on every platform. Check me and Lucy Steiner. I think it's getting on the ground floor because I think this one's going places.
Plug your social media.
At Ray Kump on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me there. And yeah.
I'm out of here, folks. I'm in LA full time starting June. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram and Twitter. TimDillonComedy.com with our upcoming dates. We're going to Moon Tower in Austin, which is really awesome. I'm at Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina, May 3rd and 4th. Get down there if you're in that area. Buy tickets. It's going to be great. I'm at Laugh Boston, one of my favorite clubs. I believe the 17th and 18th of May. Laugh Boston. It's going to be fucking awesome. Get there if you can. Thursday, Friday, Saturday shows, which are going to be great. In June, I'm at Comics at Mohegan Sun, I believe the 20th through the 23rd. And I'm at Side Splitters in Tampa, June 27th. Okay? So those are some dates. If you are in any of those places, grab tickets. Be great for you guys to come out. A lot of new material, a lot of fun stuff we're having. And I'll be on a lot of podcasts that you guys have heard of when I'm out there in LA. And I'll be back in New York occasionally. I'm going to be here. I'm going to keep a presence here. But, you know, we're changing. Things are changing. We'll have Ray on when we're back in New York. Check out his new podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. We're trying to always try to stay in that top 100 of comedy. It's very hard. We hover right outside it right now. But if you like the show, you can rate it. Leave us a good rating and then review us. That really helps. Or even just tell friends about it. And, you know, that helps us out a lot. Thank you for listening. And enjoy the rest of... the rest of the nightmare that we call life, because, you know, there's a lot of shows that tell you it's going to get better, but this ain't one of them. So, good luck.